Hello everyone and welcome. My name is Diane Wing of ForestWitch.com and today I am thrilled to have with me Selena Fox, High Priestess of Circle Sanctuary, which is a shamanic Wiccan church, and she has been doing workshops and writing and doing psychotherapy and spiritual healing for 40 years. She's based in rural Wisconsin, but she travels extensively, so if she comes to your area, I highly recommend that you go see her. She's fabulous. I had the privilege of meeting her when she came to Pennsylvania, so her energy is just wonderful, and I think you'll really enjoy being with her. She's got a master's degree in counseling from the University of Wisconsin, and she is also an advisor for Circle Sanctuary magazine, and you can see more about her and get more information about her writings and her travels both at circlesanctuary.org and at selenafox.com. Selena, welcome.
Great to be here, and happy solstice.
Yes, thank you. It's so exciting. This year is such a cosmic solstice with the
lunar eclipse.
Wow. So I'm so thrilled that you're with me to talk about the winter solstice and what it means in the past, the present, and even the future. So I know that you guys have been doing a lot of events at Circle Sanctuary.
That's correct. The winter solstice gets celebrated in multiple ways with multiple events, some large, some small, and it's all good.
Yep, spreading the good energy around. So where would you say some of the events are taking place in the world today? Where is it celebrated?
Well, what's great about winter solstice is it's being celebrated across cultures, in many countries, in many different spiritual, philosophical, and faith traditions. And of course, I also want to honor all of those in the Southern Hemisphere that are celebrating summer solstice. But up here in the Northern Hemisphere, we have many different forms of paganism that have winter solstice as a sacred holiday. But we're also finding that people of other faith traditions are starting to celebrate winter solstice as well. People who are environmental scientists are marking it as the actual start of winter, but it's a great time to be out in nature to see the beauty of the winter time. In the greater Madison, Wisconsin area, there not only are the various pagan winter solstice events. Circle Sanctuary puts on a winter solstice pageant every year that goes across faith traditions and cultures, which is open to the general public. And a number of the Christian churches in the greater Madison, Wisconsin area are also celebrating winter solstice in addition to Christmas. And that's not just unique to Madison. I've noticed that trend across the United States. Increasingly, people are identifying winter solstice as another important holiday within the December holiday season.
And the energy of the solstice, it is the darkest day of the year, and it's going to be even darker with the lunar eclipse, right? But
that's right, and whether people are able to physically view the lunar eclipse or not, this can be a powerful time for letting go of things that you want to be done with in terms of outmoded patterns of behavior for oneself. Yes, the old solar year is passing, great time for release. Well, as a full lunar eclipse begins, literally the light of the moon is waning. You go through the entire moon cycle. So you have the opportunity at this full moon and lunar eclipse as well as Yuletide to do renewing and resetting in both ways. The darkening of the moon, letting the old patterns that are no longer serving you well go out, as well as the old solar year, helping with that release. And then as the moon starts brightening again, and as the days start lengthening and lightening again, then there's also this focus of renewal. What are you bringing into your life? What are some ways that you not only can bring greater peace, joy, well-being to yourself and loved ones around you, but in the world as a whole? So it's a real powerful time this year in particular.
Absolutely. So what are some of the ways that we can celebrate these energies?
Well, I think with winter solstice, there are themes that have been connected with its observance since ancient times. One of those themes is light. When one's living in a northern clime in particular, the winter solstice is literally a time where there's the maximum darkness in the daily cycle. So surrounding oneself with lights is not only a symbolic thing that one can do, but for those who may be subject to seasonal affective disorder, often nicknamed the winter blues, where there's some biological and psychological changes in one's body by not having enough sunlight, well, one can supplement the light one is getting not only with beautiful holiday lights, but by getting out, being able to experience the sun, even if it's for short periods of time during the day, and doing some other supplemental lighting. So working with light sacredly and in a biological way can be a wonderful tradition. Another thing has to do with giving. And the whole act of giving to others, renewing bonds of friendship and care with loved ones, family and friends, people in the local area, and other communities one is part of, that is not only good for now, but it's an old tradition. And another aspect of giving is giving to those organizations and individuals who are less fortunate. One of the things that we do at Circle Sanctuary each year is a charity food drive. So at our various Yuletide events, and I do some workshops, we have our big public Yuletide pageant, we have a community Yule festival, which we just had this past Saturday where we're burning the Yule log, and then I have a full moon Yuletide circle coming up. Each of those events, people bring food for the homeless and the needy, and we take all of our food contributions in, take them into the local food pantry. So you may want to participate in a food drive. You may want to donate money to one or more charities that you wish to support. That not only is something that is an old tried and true tradition, but it's something that really can help connect you with that larger circle of life of which we are a part. A third aspect of winter solstice has to do with peace, envisioning peace, working for peace. Not only peace in the world, but peace within yourself and in your support system. I have a meditation that I developed this year called the Yule Peace Meditation. And what I encourage people to do is get a candle dedicated to peace, kindle it, even if it's only for a few moments every day. Reflect on peace, the peace within oneself, connect more strongly with that, and also connect with the vision of peace on Earth and in the larger universe. Using an affirmation, peace within me, peace around me, and allowing one to take a few moments out of what often is a busy Yuletide season, and connect with peace, not only for one's own well-being, but as we connect with that inner peace, we are better able to be a catalyst for bringing about peaceful moments and longer, sustained peaceful periods in our lives, with others, and in the world as a whole.
I love that. And it's so critical. I mean, isn't that the reason many meditate, is to try to gain inner peace? But that proactive affirmation of peace is very powerful.
Well, that's right. And I think that the peace factor of winter solstice not only is traditional, being something that was part of winter solstice celebrations in many cultures through the ages, but we really need it more now than even ever before, with the development of many types of weapons and systems that can wreak havoc and cause harm to others and the planet as a whole. I think it's even more crucial now for there to be not only moments at peace for the winter solstice, but opportunities to envision peace and collaborate with others to bring about a more peaceful world, so that humankind can be in better relation with each other, as well as the larger circle of life of which we're part.
Absolutely. So many of these traditions that we have today sounds like they do have their roots in the ancient past.
That's right. And many people see these customs as Christmas customs, and it's fine to call them Christmas customs, because both the secular Christmas as well as the religious Christian Christmas are wonderful events to be happening at this time of year. But when you go back into the ancient past, you will find that it's been winter solstice that originally was the reason for the season, and continues to be for many nature religion practitioners today. For example, the whole idea of getting time off from school and from work, shutting down the courts, happened in ancient Rome for a week. It was called the Saturnalia. Getting together with family and friends was not only present with the Saturnalia, not only in Rome, but throughout the Roman Empire, but it was part of ancient Greece, and it was part of the Northern Way. The name Yule comes from Germanic and Scandinavian pagan traditions. Some say it means wheel, the sun wheel, the wheel of the year. And during the Yule, family and friends would come together for feasting and kindling a large Yule log harvested for that purpose, which would blaze throughout the multi-day, multi-night celebration. Yule logs are continuing to be burned by people of many different paths today. We kindle a Yule log at our community Yule festival, and I know some people will take a small log and drill holes in it and put votive candles when a bonfire isn't possible in an urban apartment setting, and kindle the Yule log that way. It represents the return of the solar year to the rebirth time. Oak is associated with the waxing solar year. It's just a wonderful custom. And amongst the Celts and people following Celtic traditions, Druidic traditions, this holiday is often known as Alban Arthuron, the light of winter, or the light of Arthur, depending on which Druidic tradition you connect with. And this was also an important time amongst Celtic peoples, not only today, but in the past, celebrating the sun. The giving of gifts, the bringing of greens into homes, the colors red, green, white, and gold, the use of mistletoe as not only a wonderful holiday decoration, but making peace, and kissing under the mistletoe, something that has its roots in the ancient pagan past, the idea of kindling candles, representing the new solar year emerging, the giving. So these were part of customs that had been across the planet for hundreds and thousands of years. Going to sacred places as part of winter solstice celebrations is also an important tradition. And some of the old sites that are aligned with winter solstice exist today. New Grange in Ireland, where at dawn on winter solstice day, the light rises up and shines through an opening within this beautiful womb-like earth temple and illuminates the back of the space. What an amazing place. Stonehenge, which is well known as being a site that people celebrate summer solstice, also is aligned to the winter solstice, as is many other stone circles, not all of them, but many, including Avebury, which is one of the largest stone circles there are from the ancient times in England.
Wow. So, I mean, we can really tap into the energies of our ancestors, of what has gone before us, and feel them in the present. And also, because we're welcoming the light back, we then turn our sights to the future. So what do you see as future trends in celebrating the winter solstice?
I think one trend is that more people are embracing winter solstice as part of the season of holidays activities. And part of the way of celebrating winter solstice is getting out in nature and connecting with the rising sun, the sun at midday, or the setting sun. I think another trend is the sharing of lore about winter solstice and the creating of new traditions, some of which may be inspired by old ones, but new customs as well. At our holiday pageant that we have in Madison, we have a variety of traditional Yuletide characters that are dressed in costumes and are part of the evening experience. A fairly recent Yuletide character, and very influenced by kind of an American multicultural approach to celebrating Yuletide in pagan ways, is the Yuletide fairy. And I know that some pagan households will say that the gift bringer for Yuletide is the Yuletide fairy. There may also be gifts from Santa or some of the other gift bringers, Lucina, goddess of light, Holda, goddess of old Germany and northern Europe, Befana, the Italian witch. And some households are actually taking some of these old characters and channeling them into present-day Yule activities and doing teaching about the rich heritage of winter solstice at future events and laying the groundwork for that.
You know, it's really interesting that there was so much feminine energy around the gift bringers in the past, as opposed to, you know, predominantly male energies today.
Yeah, Santa is kind of an interesting figure. Is Santa really a Christian saint at the core, or is Santa more complex? From my own research into Santa lore and winter solstice and Christmas history, Santa is much more complicated than being a form of a Christian bishop that was known for charitable giving. Within Santa, you not only have the Christian saint and lore connected with him, but you have a bit of Odin, a bit of Thor, Odin's son. You have Holda, a goddess, who even before Santa was gifting people. You have a bit of all the gift bringers, goddesses and gods of the pagan past. And you have Saturn, the god of agriculture, and a bit of Father Time, Kronos, the Greek equivalent within ancient Greek paganism. So you actually have this very complex gift giver, Santa, who has gotten most of his contemporary form not only from the Clement Moore poem, originally called A Visit from St. Nicholas, but most people know it as The Night Before Christmas. Well, that was written back in the 1800s and has continued to be a very cherished part of many people's Yuletide experiences. Well, Santa really started having the pagan elfin form be more prominent. And with the advent of television and multimedia in the 20th century, Santa started becoming dressed in red, trimmed with white, actually became more iconic. And part of that actually came out of American advertising, not only for Coca-Cola, but the department stores back in the 20th century. So what we have is, you know, Santa as a figure that really is blending many different, you know, cultures together. And I think it is important to balance, I guess, the Santa icon with the understanding that there's other dimensions to the holiday as well. And more than a Mrs. Santa, which is one of the ways that kind of the divine connected with females have come into our holiday celebrations, but to really look back in time for other images of the divine. This was a time associated with the Great Mother, and across different pagan societies, there was the birth of the Sun Child. And with all due respect to the loving and wonderful parts of Christianity, we have to recognize that 500 years before the historical Jesus is said to have been born, there was the story told of the birth of Mithras to a virgin in a cave visited by shepherds. So where does that come from? Well, that has its roots in even older pagan celebrations of the birth of the light, the sun. And it doesn't mean that one story is superior to another, but I think it's important to look at this whole return of the light at this time of year as something that really is complicated with its cultural history, but yet at the same time it can be very basic. It's celebrating renewal, it's celebrating peace and joy and light, and can be an inspiration for our celebrations. So regardless of what one's religion, philosophy, or spirituality is, I am hoping as we go into not only the celebration of solstice and Christmas and Kwanzaa and Hogmanay, for those of you who celebrate that Scottish New Year Yuletide festival as well, but into the new calendar year, that we can take those messages of goodwill and joy and peace and really take that into our lives as well as into the larger world that we're part of.
I love that. I love that. Well, Selena, thank you so much for being with me today and sharing all this wonderful information. I think it it adds a real depth to this time of year. And just to hear some of the history and the stories about the gods and the goddesses, just it's really a part of us all. And so to be able to have a deeper understanding of this is really a gift, and I thank you for that.
Well, I'd like to conclude with my solstice sun chant that I wrote a number of years ago, which sometimes we speak and sometimes we sing. Solstice sun, shining bright, shortest day and longest night. Solstice wish of hope and cheer, peace on earth throughout the year. And if you want to sing it, solstice sun shining bright, shortest day and longest night. Solstice wish of hope and cheer, peace on earth throughout the year. Happy solstice, good Yule.
Thank you. You have a wonderful season, and happiness and joy to everyone in our listening audience. Blessings.
Blessings.